Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Group of Five and Other Teams special preview, recording on August 20th. It will be released later in the week. And this is the last one before the season starts, Zuch. And then we got some real football week zero this week, talking about that next week. But before we can get to that, we have to talk about some scragglers. The playoff, it allows for a group of five team. What will happen with Notre Dame? There's some interesting things with kind of these scraggler teams that aren't really in any Power Four conference.
Yeah, some are calling it basically, what is the word for when you just get like a offering?
A handout?
Not a handout, like a sacrificial lamb. That's what I'm looking for. Is what the G5.
They get thrown a bone, so to say. So yeah. Do you think the group of five is just getting thrown a bone to keep them pleased for the next 4 or 5 years until the inevitable possible break into three divisions?
As much as it pains me to say, yes. I think that it's...
Let's hope not. Let's hope one of these teams can go on a little run, even winning one game. But we'll see if that happens. We're going to be going into all these teams. The way we have it broken down is we're going to be covering Notre Dame, the Pac-2, and then what we think are the best group of five teams, or at least the teams that we think have a shot to actually make the playoff, whether it be a solid chance or some of these teams like a 1% chance, but there is a path. So just fair warning. If you are a fan of the Mac, love the Mac, love Tuesday Night Maction. We all love Tuesday Night Maction. That kind of like promo and branding has made that league a lot of money. I think it's safe to say, even fans of the Mac will say, you got no shot at the playoff. I am so sorry. At least this year. So sorry, fans of the Mac. San Diego State, big school. But Sean Lewis is going to do great things. A few years away. Sorry, fans of San Diego State. Not getting talked about. Also, James Madison, one of the better teams of the group of five last year. But Zuch, that was last year, and they lost their coach. So James Madison fans, I'm so sorry. You can skip this episode over. Maybe listen to next week when we got the week one going, but we got a great show. And the first thing I want to talk about, Zuch, is what the hell is going to happen with the Pac-2 in Oregon State and Washington State?
Ooh.
They're kind of in this no man's land kind of bizarro Beetlejuice world right now, where they're neither in nor out. They're both playing Mountain West schedules, but they're not in the Mountain West, so they can't win the conference tournament. It seems like they're almost like, you know, when like a player takes a 1-year contract and bets on themselves, that's what this feels like. I feel like they could have got a really good Mountain West conference deal if they signed it last year, but they're choosing to bet on themselves. And if it goes well, they'll be in a big conference. If not, Mountain West might be able to get them for pennies on the dime.
Yeah, it kind of sucks for them. And I'm kind of middle of the road on them, too. It's not like either one of them were ever, you know, no one ever thought of the Pac-12, Pac-10, and was like, oh, USC, Oregon, UCLA, Oregon State. Or like Washington mm-hmm. State wasn't named among those teams. I really don't even think for the most part up until a couple years after Chris Peterson got there that Washington was pretty bad for a while too. Like they had they went with zero wins one season. Oregon
the Sarkisian years, or I guess post-Sark years. Although we will talk probably in our week preview. Actually, you know what? F it. We're getting in now. If anyone go look up the Steve Sarkisian liquor bill receipts at the Long Beach Waterfront Hotel online. And that's all I'm going to say. Zuch, do you have anything else to say about that? Sorry to go off track.
It was, he's a madman.
We'll leave that.
Check the receipts
out for your seats, fellas, especially since a lot of Wazoo fans might be listening. If you need some ammo this year for this year's earlier Apple Cup, just check those receipts out with Sark.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like with Wazoo, like, yeah, like they've had some good years, but Wazoo and Oregon State, I hate to break it to you guys, but your coaches, the two best coaches you've had in the last 20 or so years, I know Oregon State had Mike Riley, who's really good there. And with Wazoo, I'm talking about Mike Leach. they both left for, I mean, Mississippi State's a bottom tier SEC team, in my opinion. They're not like, they're in the second half for sure, I think. And Michigan State, especially at the Big Ten now, like, I don't think, where would you place Michigan State in terms of power program?
Right in the middle. Probably right in the middle of the Big Ten, yeah.
So, yeah, like, those, like, you lost your best coaches to, I wouldn't even really consider them, like, yes, they are upgrades, but it's not like an upgrade you.
It's not like a Chris Peterson to Washington sort of deal, or kind of like we saw with it's the guy that just went to, oh my gosh, I guess like a Tom Herman, you would say, going from Houston to Texas, even though that didn't work out, that is a complete upgrade, something like that.
Yeah, it's like if you like, even within the realms of those two conferences, right? Like, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. Jonathan Smith. Say he does good for the next 2 or 3 years at Michigan State, and Ohio State or Penn State or Alabama, USC, whoever it could be, offers him a job, that like, that's an upgrade. Like within the conference, and what I'm trying to say is like, Oregon State and Washington State were never, like, I understand they're mad that they're not in those conferences.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know how people say nowadays, like, oh, the SEC would never add Vanderbilt or Mississippi State nowadays. Okay, yeah, you're probably right. But that is why the Big Ten is not offering Washington State and Oregon State, I guess.
It makes sense. It is unfair, and if you're for them, last thing we'll say is, if you're them, the only thing you can do is prove them wrong. You got this 2 or 3 year period to win, and maybe the ACC or Big 12 gets you an offer. But one of the offerings given to these Group of Five teams, and it's the biggest thing for the Group of Five teams this year, is, like you said, even though it might be a little bit of a handout, a little bit of like shut up hush money, but a spot has opened up, a very clear spot, slim chance for a Group of Five school to play for a national championship. Even if that means just making it, it'll probably be a 12 seed, but they don't even have to be one of the top 12 teams. They just got to be the best at what they do. And it's opened the door for a lot of these teams who, you know, it's almost like the last kind of hope for a lot of these teams, and we'll jump into it later. There's some Group of Five schools with heavy tradition that are and big alumni bases, and, you know, maybe not as much money as these SEC teams and Big Ten teams, but money pouring in that's way higher than half of or a lot of the G5 teams, that are almost like clamoring and almost playing for their football futures, in the sense where if you don't make a playoff as a G5 team, it doesn't matter what you've done. There are people are going to look at you like you're a scrub and you're going to get left behind.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a lot to me. It's, there's a few teams, and I think most of them are on the list of the teams we're going to talk about tonight, that you almost need to win one of those, that first round game too. I'm not saying you have to go to the Final Four, go to the national title, win it, whatever. But I personally don't think that a G5 team making the playoff is going to be looked in the same way as like mid-majors who make the NCAA tournament and win, like, on the first weekend, if that makes sense. First off, I think it's going to be a lot harder to win.
Way harder. Because, like, you have to think, it's not going to be neutral site games.
It's not going to be a neutral site game, and it's not going to be, what, the Selection Sunday. You have Selection Sunday, and then games start. You get Monday, like, if you're playing on Thursday, you get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you're playing on Friday, you get a fourth day to prepare for whoever you're playing. In this, you're going to have 2 weeks. You're going to be, depth-wise, pretty much, if the team's in that playoff, it's not going to be like when, I'm trying to think of one that happened last year, like, say, like, when Appalachian State beat A&M, right? Like, that A&M team had, like, four or five losses, yeah. I think. The teams in the playoff are pretty much going to be 2 and 3 deep on the depth chart. Like, they're going to be able to reload the defensive line. Maybe it's not their starting five defensive line, but it, the guys are probably still going to be better than your offensive linemen. Their fourth and fifth receivers are going to be probably better than your cornerbacks. But I still think even with if they want to stay keep this current format, which I think it's only promised for 2 years, right? And then they can look into it or whatever they are saying. If the next 2 years, it's, you know, because in our reality, if you look at it this year, the five seed is most likely going to be the loser.
The SEC or Big Ten runner up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who is that going to be? Probably
Alabama, Oregon, Michigan, yeah, Ohio State.
Alabama. It's going to be a power program, basically, is what I'm – long story short. It's going to be a power program, and if it the next 2 years it's – it looks like that Georgia-TCU game did, I don't think it's going to continue. Like, they're just going to be like, oh, well.
For the sake of everything, I think all of Group of Five teams will need to root for each other. I know that's hard. I know, especially with a school that's on this list that may or may not be run by a certain evangelicist in the state of Virginia. But we will get into it. But before we hop into the G5, we have to talk, and we are going to kick off our G5 and others preview with Notre Dame. And I really want to talk about Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman, obviously he's building something. 9 wins last year. New QB Riley Leonard, Mike Denbrook, worked with Jaden Daniels last year. This team looks like to be loaded like Notre Dame always does. My question is, how is the committee going to view Notre Dame? They don't have the biggest, best schedule. They're not going to be playing in a conference championship game. And I'm just wondering, is Notre Dame, can they afford one loss? Can they afford 2 losses? Can they afford 3 losses? Like, where do you think the committee values Notre Dame?
I think you would really be pushing it at 3. 1 or 2 losses, I think they're going to almost – always be in, because if you look at their schedule, they always have USC. I mean,
they got
on
SC
there.
Yeah,
Clemson. They play like A&M in week one.
They play FSU this year. Yeah. So I mean, they have some big hitters, but they also play Navy.
Like, that's true. Like, I 9-3, I think, besides SEC, Big Ten, would be hard for, and you're gonna have the. As much as people are going to hate it, there's probably going to be a 3-loss SEC team. Like, does anyone really think if Alabama's 9-3 and, or even like 10-3, like let's say Alabama's 10-2 and they lost to Georgia in another SEC game, but they make the SEC championship and like lose to Texas. So they're 10-3 and all 3 of their losses are playoff teams. They're going to be in the playoff. Notre Dame, I don't think, would get that benefit because you're not going to have that conference championship game. Like, I still don't think they need to join a conference or anything like that. I think their brand is, Notre Dame brand is big enough to where.
I think they do. Yeah, they have the brand value. And like you said, this is, you know, I think Notre Dame sometimes does get overrated. This is a team that I don't think is overrated. I think my initial reaction, you know, I dropped in a couple of group chats, oh, Notre Dame's really overrated. Like when I saw them that high in the AP poll. And after doing some thinking, I like to think that they are maybe a little overrated, but pretty properly rated. Like I would have them in the preseason top 12. Like they return essentially everyone on defense. They have draft picks up and down. It's essentially can Riley Leonard play to his potential? Because he showed flashes at Duke. Some of them were, I'm not gonna lie, totally underwhelmed me dud. Some of them is like, oh my god, this guy's gonna leave for the NFL next year. It's just not the case. He got hurt. So we'll see with Notre Dame. It's gonna be exciting. Their win total is at 10.5, Zuch. Last thing, do you think they get that over 10.5?
Ooh, I think a lot of it decides on that week one game. Like, if they win that one, I think they could get rolling. But if you lose that, like, and that's for any team, I guess, but you lose that week one and it's like, hold on to your butts. Like, you really got to win 10 of your next 11.
We will see. Yeah, no, exactly. All right. So we got Notre Dame out the way. Before we hop into the Pac-12s and Group of Five schools, just want to remind everyone, please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Settle Down. And at one more thing, Zuch, before I shamelessly plug our social media accounts?
I do want to say, for all the group of five people that aren't happy with their current placement, be happy, because I was thinking about this today. I truly can't think of anything worse than if we had been going to school at Boise State during like that Nevada game. And you're like, I know they went to play for the national title game,
but and like TCU gets least, in.
Yeah, at least now, if that happens, which it's gonna, like, it is going to happen to some of these G5 schools, you're just gonna have blow an off night or blow a game. At least now you are still probably going to the playoffs. You're not getting banished to the Vegas Bowl.
Yes.
Like, when you put into context that Kellen Moore lost three games by a combined like 5 or 6 points in 4 years and played one New Year's Six Bowl, that's like the worst ever. So.
I think the craziest thing is that two of those losses are to TCU. That's the craziest part. All right. Well, let's hop into, again, going to go back to the shameless plugging. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, on TikTok, subscribing to our YouTube, checking out the other shows. They're all great. At Settle Down Media across the board. We're going to start talking about Oregon State, the first of the Pac-2 schools. They got a 7.5 win total over under Zouch. They lost everyone, and no fan base feels more screwed than they are.
Yeah, they were like kind of like Jonathan Smith had gotten it rolling there. Like, they had played Oregon pretty well the past couple of years. Like, things are looking up, and then legitimately, like, it's almost like in a movie, like when it's one of those scenes where like the good guys or whatever like beat like this, like they have a skirmish and they beat like the other 10 guys, and then they like look up and there's like a million people like running down the hill at them. That's what happened to Oregon State.
No, they got totally screwed. You know, I don't think this team's going to be – look, they're going to regress. I think that 10-win season might be an anomaly. But, you know, I think they're going to be all right. You know, it's going to be a lot easier schedule than they're used to playing. You know, they're going to be going from playing Washington to going to playing Nevada Reno. No disrespect to Nevada Reno, but there's just levels to this shit. You know what I mean? They got Ben Gulbranson, who's looking to take over. Totally underwhelmed me. I think they got to look up for Jervani McCoy, transfer quarterback from the University of Idaho, balled out with our guy Jason Eck last year. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw McCoy come in later in the year.
I still can't figure out like what they can only get an at large, right?
Yep, only at large.
So I wonder. Like, say they go like 11-1, right? They go 11-1. Let's say they beat whoever wins the Mountain West. Like, their only loss is Oregon. Okay, they beat whoever wins the Mountain West. What if the winner of the Mountain West gets in and like Oregon State doesn't? Because I truly wonder if like an 11-1 Oregon State would get in the top four.
I don't know. What I would tell you is that I think it depends on the rest of the country, which is sad to say, but I think that's just the way this is going to go. It's going to suck.
Yeah, because if you really think about it, five spots they're for sure not getting. They're not getting the top four. They're not getting the group of five one. The SEC title, Big Ten title loser are definitely getting in. You have like an ACC team's probably going to have 10 wins.
Two.
So they're probably, that's right there, eight spot. I mean.
Dude, It's a shit show right now, man. It is a shit show, but I'm here for it. I think, like you said, I think Oregon State, they just have to play. If you're Oregon State, you got to play Oregon close, and you probably got to beat the winner of the Mountain West, which is looking like it's going to be another team we're going to talk about pretty soon. But before we talk about that team, we're going to talk about the Washington State Cougars, also in a similar position to Oregon State. But I was looking up some stats from last year, and I didn't realize how bad they imploded. I know we kind of stopped talking about Cam Ward after talking to him. They ended the year 1-7 last year and then lost their quarterback.
A tale of two seasons. Because who was it that they had that great game earlier in the year with that Cam Ward?
They beat Oregon State. They beat Oregon State when they were undefeated. They beat an undefeated Oregon State.
and then it just went to shit after that.
Yeah, they were losing like Cal and stuff, man. No disrespect to Cal, but I mean, come on. If you, when you start that hot and you got Cam Ward, who's the Miami quarterback right now. But I will say, like I said, got an easier schedule. You know, the coaching, I like what it's Dykert there. I think he's doing all right things. And, you know, they played Texas Tech early in the season. And I think that's going to tell a lot about this group, whether they are. If they lose to Texas Tech, I think, you know, bowl eligibility has the potential to be out of the question. You know, they beat Tech, I think, 9-10 wins, while a lofty goal, I think, is manageable. I think that's a good bar for them.
I think so, too. And I just have to say, a Washington State-Texas Tech is, like, the bowl game you dream about on, like, December 22nd that you're out of school, yes. Like, people are starting to come in town. Everyone's happy because it's the holidays, and you get like a 65-58 bowl game.
It's the Mike Leach Bowl. It's literally the Mike Leach Bowl, and I really hope that they talk about Mike Leach. You already know there's going to be some great montages. I hope that's what's brought up is oh my gosh, who's that kid that said he was bullied by Mike Leach? He's like the son of like the SMU running back.
Yeah,
Craig James's kid.
The greatest Mike Leach moment, and we'll move on, is, and I laugh every time I see it, because you just have to be so enraged about how your team is playing to be individually picking up chairs and throwing them to the ground so people can't sit down.
Yes, on the sideline. That is a great Mike Leach moment. I would say one of my favorite Mike Leach moments is when he goes in, and I think it's some reporter. It's like, oh, which mascot will win in the fight? And then he logically breaks down every Pac-12 mascot. Like, logically, like, well, does the Ute, you know, does he have a gun? Because, you know, if he has a gun, you know, it changes the whole equation, you know. But if he doesn't have a gun, you know, the Cougar might be able to get him. And, you know, a duck, but the duck can fly away. And, like, he's, like, logically breaking down this Hunger Games-esque fight between the Pac-12 mascots. It's just great. I think Wazoo, and I will say, I think Wazoo fans do have a more positive kind of optimistic glass half full outlook than Oregon State fans, at least on Twitter. That's what I've kind of come to agree. I think Washington State fans, them being so isolated anyway, they're already kind of used to being, you know, forgotten about. And I think it's kind of hit Oregon State a little like harder and faster.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, should we move on to the group of five in the teams that have a path to get in? And we have to talk about the Thundering Herd, not Marshall, the Boise State Buckin' Broncos. And I'm glad we are recording it. This Boise State is one of two teams probably our favorite to go, this team and the Boise State and the next team we'll talk about. A lot of experts are picking them to win. They're saying that Boise State could even drop a game to Oregon and get blown out and still make the playoff. Zuch, this is a team that returns, 18 starters. They have a legitimate Heisman candidate at running back. They have transfer talent all over the receivers. But they have two question marks, Zuch, and that's defensive backs and that quarterback situation, man. So Boise State, it is, by all means, on paper, they should be the favorites.
I have to be unbiased here.
That's why I say on paper, because I'm going to go into something later. I say on paper.
I agree on paper. They're the fit. Like, I see a lot of people picking them, a lot of people who I don't really think care all that much about the group of five throwing Liberty out there. I have concerns still about Boise State football. And it's not because of last year. Since COVID, they have had at least four losses every season. Five losses, last year six. And in my opinion, there is a huge step up from, like, I think when they got Malachi Nelson, when Ginty announced he's coming back, you have a head coaching change. There's definitely reasons to be optimistic. But that defense was really bad last year. We've seen stuff in camp.
No, they were in the 100s.
And I, like, Latrell Caples is a good receiver. Latrell Caples has not played a down of real football since 2022.
That's what I mean. And it's all on paper.
200 yards in the spring game. So that makes me, like, part of me is like, oh, like maybe these receivers are really good, but part of me is also like, well, is this going to be the same defense that gave up 30 points?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting.
Can't score on preschoolers.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because I think this is a rebuild that's more than people think. This isn't just a swapping, oh, we're going to get back to our winning ways. You know, Boise State, they always talk about, oh, the winning culture at Boise State. And they do have a winning culture of winning Mountain West championships. And they do have a winning culture of producing NFL talent. But like you said, they've had four losses the past 3 years. If you have been recruited, unless you are one of the 6 year guys, you don't know what a truly like it feels like to have a chance at playing at a group of to playing in the New Year's Six and back in right. 2019. And Boise State, since that 2014 year, they have always been the on paper or for most part the best group of five team, and they. It usually was against BYU or another team. It's just be that one loss that kills them. And part of me really wants to go in on Boise State because they easily have the most loaded roster in the G5, and it's not close.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion, it's not close. I think they have a good coaching staff. But also, it's like I could see a world where they lose to Oregon, and then they just take a break 1 week. And so they're 10-2, and they get hosed again. I think that's a very realistic situation. On paper, though, I think if Genty's humming, the offense is going to hum. It's as simple as that. Doesn't matter who's the quarterback. Doesn't matter if Mad Dog Matt. Also, one thing, people were being very mean about who Mad Dog Mattson looks like. The one that got me was someone said he looked like Greg the Hammer Valentine. That person needs to stop. Needs to stop. I know, Zuch, you saw it. That was enough. I think that's, you know what? I think we should flip that. And I say we because I am a Boise State fan. Again, biased up front. I think we need to flip that as a compliment because then Dirk Cutter can be Jimmy Hart. You know, Ashton Genty can be the Macho Man, Randy Savage. You know, we could just get a whole WWF football team from Boise State.
And another thing, too, because you brought him up, where – it feels, and I agree with you, Genty's a beast. I mean, we said before the season started last year that people didn't know much about him, and he's going to be like a day two draft pick, yeah. Which now a lot
he
of
might
people
be a day one.
Right.
He might be a day one pick. Very.
However, he is a running back. So what happened? I mean, injuries happen all the time. So
if he misses two games, three games?
Yeah, like that's a very – I don't want to say realistic, but that's plausible, I guess, would be the best word to use for it, that he gets hurt. And then, I mean, they would not have gone to a bowl game last year without that dude. That guy.
Yeah.
Carried like.
Two games, SDSU and San Jose State. He won those two games. He won San Jose State, I would say, and he won right. San Diego State. Like single-handedly.
And even going back to last year, and I know they won the Mountain West, all that stuff, but within context of them winning the Mountain West was Fresno State losing games they probably shouldn't have lost. Like, Fresno State shouldn't be losing to New Mexico, but should not have lost to New Mexico. So they were the beneficiaries of
Fresno State blowing it.
Fresno State blowing it. So, yes, they won the Mountain West, but that goes in hand with they had six losses, and Washington went to the national championship last year, but we saw just how far away I think they were last year in that Washington game. Like, started out,
I think
fine,
he did. Yeah, I mean, well, because you saw Genty wasn't far away at that point. So I think the last thing I'm going to say about Boise State is that they're banking on defense, a lot of guys improving because they have a lot of returning starters. Boise State, they're hanging their hat on these guys that can improve. And I think Coach Spencer Danielson has said defense was bad last year. He doesn't say that because he's the coach. He can't completely shit on his guys. Well, what he would say is not up to standard, which is coach talk for we were the shits. So I think if that defense improves, which it has the capability of doing, Boise State can make some waves. Boise State can make some waves.
Did you see someone commented that he looks like Justin Timberlake's character from The Social Network?
Who?
Spencer Danielson.
Gotta stop. Again, Maddox Madsen, Spencer Danielson, this all has to stop. It needs to stop.
Part of the blame lies on you, Pete Dammel, for using that photo to announce that he's in the
Florida. Yes.
You couldn't have just picked one of him like in a helmet throwing the ball. You picked the one.
Dude, exactly. He used the one where it's post game. He's probably all sweaty and like inflamed, and he's probably smiling at like his parents or something, and it's the bad angle. Duh. We need a new picture of Malachi. No, not Malachi. Maddox. But before we start, Zuch, I am going to quickly, we can keep this rolling. I'm going to quickly get these blinds because it gets dark now. So everyone take a break. Zuch, plug the show.
Everyone needs to let us know who they think is going to win the national title. Do you think a group of five team has a shot? Probably not.
Dude, what were you talking about when I was gone? I said, do you have a shot? Probably not.
I was saying, I asked our fans and listeners to let me know if the group of five has a shot. And then I was like, oh, probably not. They probably not.
We'll see. All right. Well, we just talked a lot about Boise State because we know a lot of people in Boise. And like we said, full disclosure, Boise State fans want to keep that biased up front. But let's move on to the Southern Grand Canyon University, except it's not for profit, allegedly. But no, Liberty, they're solid. And Zuch, this offense, I think, is going to be just as good. Kadon Slater is probably the best group of five quarterback. Jamie Chadwell is going to get a power five job or power four job at some point. Liberty, I think they're going to be an exciting team. And I want you to talk, if you have anything good to say about Liberty before I not tear them down, but hit them with some facts.
They're very good about beating teams and probably the worst conference in football.
So that's what I was going to say. So their offense last year was amazing, and they're going to be amazing again. The defense is all right. They're okay. They can't beat power four teams or power five teams. In their history of FBS, Zuch, they are 3-11. And I think one of those wins was COVID against like Virginia Tech. So, and this is, I think, a stigma that's going to carry them again all year. I think unlike some of these teams like a Boise State or a Memphis, they can't drop a game. They cannot take a break if they want to make the playoffs. They have to go undefeated. They again don't play a power four team all season. And there's a game they play at App State, which is another team that we're going to talk about that's going to be really, really good this year in the Sun Belt. Liberty has to handle App State, and it can't be close in my opinion, because App State's going to be the closest thing to a P4 team because they are solid. And it's going to be a road game. Liberty has to break without a shadow of a doubt. Hey, we know we just got our ass kicked by Oregon last year. We are here to play, and we can compete and keep up with these big boys. Because the playoff committee, they say it's only supposed to be for this year. That Oregon game is going to be in the back of their mind.
Of course. Anytime they say they aren't looking at something, that you know they're looking at it. So they will be looking at that. And, I mean, yeah, they have to be undefeated or hope that whoever's the next team closest to you, I guess, somehow loses their conference championship to a 3 or 4 loss G4 school. I guess Liberty would probably make it if they're 12-1 and 11-1 Boise State loses to 8-4 Air Force or something like that.
Yeah.
Because then
100%
the champion, like, it has to be a group of five champion in that spot. So
I have to say, yeah. So Liberty fans, you have to, I would say the goal for Liberty this year is to beat every team unequivocally without a shadow of a doubt. Leave no doubt if you're Liberty. What is it? Fan the flames. Strike the stone. And then, like, all of their students I see on, like, Instagram reels, like, they'll be, like, crying in, like, a gymnasium.
Why do they have that Game of Thrones-ass chant?
I don't – look, I'm not here to judge universities. I'm only here to judge college football. I think there's enough judgment of Liberty as a university that I'm not going to partake. I will only judge their football team, which looks to be solid this year. Looks at some weaknesses. I don't think they're the best G5 team like they think they are. I think they're probably that second or third. But yeah, Liberty University. What can you say? Jamie Chadwell probably going to be gone next year. All right, let's move on to the Memphis Tigers, who I think is a dark horse. This is who I think has the second best chance at making the Group of Five playoff. I think it's because they play in the American. This is a sneaky dark horse pick, Zuch. And Zuch, this offense finished sixth in the country in scoring last year. I didn't know that before I did some research. Sixth in the country in scoring this offense.
Memphis has, I feel like, been on the cusp for like 4 years now. Like, you always like can see Memphis like halfway, maybe two-thirds of the way through the year and be like, oh, all right, Memphis 8-2. Uh-huh. They have whoever it would be, whether it had been UCF at the time or whomever. You're like, oh, they win that game or they beat Cincinnati, they'll be the Group of Five team going to the New Year Six. But they can't ever seem to get – they went
they
the
can't
one
ever
year,
win
right?
the American.
Like Penn State.
They just can't ever seem to win the American. That's their problem. Like, they just can't – they always seem to be like, oh, SMU has a fire year, or some random school has just an unbelievable year in the American, and Memphis is like, shit, we're the third best team, which stinks. But one thing has to improve for Memphis, and that's they were 111th. I want to make sure I get my facts right. Defense has to improve. 111th in the country in total defense last year. Not going to happen, especially when you particularly don't play a very strong schedule. The American is stronger than a lot of the Group of Five, but it's still a Group of Five schedule. If you want to make the playoffs, like you said, more than likely going to be having to play a team that is a absolute juggernaut, and you're going to have to be able to throw some blows. I mean, you can play a little bit snarky around, but you're going to have to be able to slow them down a little bit. And Memphis's shot is you're going to do it. Zuch, I got one more question about Memphis. Win total, 9.5. Do you think they get it?
Yes. I think they'll get 10 wins. I don't think they'll be in the playoff. I think they will get their 10th win in their bowl game.
Don't want to spoil my picks, but I think I'm right there with you. Let's move on to one of the most fun teams. It's a team that everyone loves just because of the history of beating Michigan. You know, they like the uniforms, the stadium, the vibes, Luke Combs. They drink a lot of beer. Every college drinks beer, but they do it in a very cool way in that student section, the grass. Appalachian State. The offense looked solid last year. This is an 8-5 team. App State looks poised to compete for a Sun Belt championship. And I want to say, Ethan Johnson, I was looking this kid up. Apparently, he's supposed to be one of the best corners in the Sun Belt, NFL prospect. And if they can over – my question is, can App State overcome the kind of what has turned into be a three-team race in the national media's eyes for that Group of Five spot? Can they overtake a Memphis, a Liberty, or a Boise State?
I mean, yes, I think – if they're undefeated, like, I don't necessarily think any of the Group of Five teams are going to be undefeated. So I would say yes. Like, let me, because I don't have their schedule in front of me, I'm going to pull that up.
Liberty's the only one, but I mean, App State's got a tougher schedule than Liberty. That's for sure. So an undefeated App State versus an undefeated Liberty, I think an undefeated App State gets in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think enough people know about App State and it's a good enough storyline. Like, can you, like, just, this is like fan fiction or whatever you want to call it, but imagine Michigan is that 5 seed and App State is a 12 seed. Like, the story, like, you would have.
What are you fan fiction? What are you, Josh Pate, Pate State? Just scenario city?
I mean, I have another one coming up with teams that live in a ginormous state that I off like thought about on the way home today. I was like, oh, that would be a cool matchup just because it would be fun.
Does this happen to be is this another state school, Zach? This scenario. Yes. Well, we are moving right into it because this is our next team, and that's Texas State. This is a team that became bowl eligible for the first time. JG Kinney threw his name in the hat for the Boise State job, is back at Texas State. He's a very good coach. Texas State, they are in an easy conference in the Sun Belt. Their goal is they got to be better than App State. They got to be better than JMU, you know. And I was looking up this up. Jordan McLeod is going to be their quarterback this year. Apparently, he's supposed to be really good from what I was reading about him. But Texas State, for me, it just comes back to J.G. Kinney. Again, this guy has, in my opinion, power four coach written all over him. He has turned a, let's say for what it is, laughable program at Texas State into a very respectable one.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it this way. Name, they're getting like some pretty decent buzz to be the G5 playoff team. I would venture to guess that even most big college football fans have never watched a Texas State game. I've watched them before because I have a family member.
I've watched them before. But I mean, you're right. Usually they're either on very, very late or they're like the weird like ESPNU game. It's like, what the hell? Like Texas, it's like I can either watch Texas State versus Louisiana Monroe, or I can watch Oklahoma play like a ranked Kansas State. That's usually what it like ends up as.
Right, they're in that like you might turn over to that Texas State game if like the SEC on CBS is like 41-10 in the third quarter. You're like, oh, okay, like I'll put this game on because it's like close and there's going to be 17 people in the stands. So
yes, but what is your fan fiction about Texas State?
Texas State versus Texas first round matchup. It would be like that'd be a fun matchup. You would get some like just to see the Texas fans' remarks about Texas. Like, I would be cheering so hard for Texas State because
you already know.
I cannot imagine
it would be like. Also, imagine the Oklahoma fans getting the paint off their chest for that Boise State loss. They would finally have ammunition, be like, at least we lost to one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. You lost to, and I think J.G. Kinney is a great coach. They would make J.G. Kinney look like he was like the water boy and like coaching Pop Warner for football. That's essentially what it would be. But Texas State, they got a chance. Let's move on to what should be the second best CUSA team. I know we're going fast because there's not a lot talked about. That's not the team we're going to talk about, but we'll talk about them later. We're going to talk quickly about UTSA. I bring this up because a lot of experts have been talking about UTSA. I think they have no shot to make the playoff, if that makes sense. I think they have a very good shot to win CUSA because I think Liberty is a little overrated. I don't see a scenario where UTSA gets in over one of the Sun Belt teams, over one of the American teams, or one of the Mountain West teams, unless they somehow run the table and go undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, they're another one. It has to be undefeated or look out, and they're not like basically most of the other G5 teams have 3 or 4 losses. Like they're just there's levels to Power Five and there's levels to the Group of Five too. Mm-hmm. We all know this. Like, I think most people know who Boise State is. Most people know who Liberty is, App State.
Memphis.
To a certain extent, I still think a little bit maybe Northern Illinois to pick one team out of the MAC.
But maybe not, like I mean, a USF. But like I know they've got hot in like the playoff buzz the last couple weeks again. I just think that they're another one of those teams. It's just like, man, it's just tough. It's going to be tough. I'm moving on to another team that I actually think could drop a game just because they're in the American and see a scenario for them. Now, do I think they're talented enough to win 11 games? That's the question. It's the Tulane, what are they? The Green Wave? The Tulane Green Wave? Well, I don't know. we're getting to the point now where now it's just fun storylines. Did you know, do you remember Mario Williams from USC, the transfer wide receiver? He's on Tulane now. That guy's on his third school in 3 years, but he's really good. Tulane usually's got a high-powered offense, but Tulane, again, one of those schools that it's going to be constant with some of these schools, except for the next one that has a lot of funny stuff and funny storylines. It's kind of why we picked them, not Tulane, but the next school we're going to talk about, I picked them just because they are hilarious to me. But Tulane... Do you see a shot for Tulane? I know it's a big school, Southern, but
well, there that coach went to Houston, right?
That's where Houston,
went to coach.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So lost their coach. They played Ole Miss pretty well last year. They beat USC a couple years ago. So, like, they have the buzz to where I think if they had a loss, they could get in. But the American's tough, so I don't know. Like,
American is tough.
I think some of those teams might beat on each other. And, I mean, Tulane would be a fun one, too. Tulane LSU, anybody?
Oh, yes, Tulane LSU. that would be perfect.
Tulane, even former SEC school.
Even a Tulane versus anyone in the SEC, I think, could be a really funny dream matchup. But let's quickly move on to one of the funnier schools in the G5. That is the mechanic himself, Jay Norvell, wearing that baggy blue shirt, Colorado State Rams. And I bring Colorado State up because no school seems to have as much resources as Colorado State. I know people, I'm on the West Coast. Zuch has lived in the Rocky Mountain region for a while. I went to school in the Rocky Mountain region. I don't think people really grasp how many resources Colorado State truly has. It is a large state school, like a San Diego State, like a San Diego State or an Arizona State might be a better comparison. Like, they have so much resources and they can't win in football. And they actually have some talent this year. They have some talent this year. You know, they got Torrey. They got Horton, coming back receiver. They got a Fowler, Nicolosi, who I want to say, he said that he got offered $600,000 to transfer. I think there's a bubble. This is the Big Short. There's a bubble. Short everything. If Braden Fowler Nicolosi is getting $600,000, not saying he's a bad quarterback. But $600,000, which,
yeah, there's no way. He did not get offered $600,000. I think it was like, oh, hey, Tony Horton, we'll give you $559,000, 999 cents, and
he gets $440,000. Yeah, he gets like, yeah, that's what I think it is too. Like, it was a combo deal, but it is what it is. We had some technical difficulties, so we are going to jump into who do we think will make the playoff of the group of five schools. Zuch, I'm going to go first. I do think it's going to be Boise State. I think that talent level is just too much for the other schools. But wait, there's more. I also think Notre Dame makes the playoff for an at-large bid. I think it is going to piss some people off because they're going to get like that 10 seed with two losses, and it's going to piss people off. But I think Boise State gets in at the 12. Notre Dame gets in at the 10 or 9. Haven't decided. Little preview for our playoff predictions coming next week.
I just have to say I completely agree. I stand by my – I'm very nervous to pick Boise State because of all the reasons I listed. But the other group of five teams, there's not one that I'm like – like, there's some that I think could be special, but I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, you guys lose once or twice and you're done. Where I think Boise State could have two losses and make the playoff. But yeah, Boise State is the 12. Notre Dame is the 10. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. My offensive player of the year, it's probably the same as yours. I think it's going to be Ashton Gentry. Like, I don't
know. No. I think the offensive player of the year is Kadon Slater, quarterback of Liberty. I think he just puts up stupid numbers again. Like, I think Ashton Gentry is a better offensive player, but I think the numbers would put up, if we were doing this hypothetical group of five, whatever, right? I would do Kadon Slater. I do Kadon Slater. Defensive player of the year. I cheated a little bit. It's a player on Notre Dame, not technically group of five, but a school that we covered today. Howard Cross, interior defensive lineman from Notre Dame. I think he has the potential to be an interior defensive lineman picked in round one. Going to really hone in and be the centerpiece of that Notre Dame defensive front seven.
Yeah, I mean, defense in the group of five is so hard because there's just...
That's why I didn't choose it. It's like I had to choose a Notre Dame player. I didn't see a player. Now there could be one that emerges, right? You know, actually the one who might emerge is who I'm going to have as my newcomer. But yeah, my defensive player of the year is going to be Howard Cross.
You know, I'm just going to go with Howard Cross too, because I like with with the group of five, it's so hard. Like, I just don't – I see certain guys, I'm like, oh, yeah, they could be. But when you're comparing them to Notre Dame, they're – we'll go with him.
Go with him. Perfect. Newcomer? So my newcomer, Corey Foreman, transfer from USC to Fresno State, edge rusher. This guy was the top edge rusher coming out of his class. Hoping for a fresh start at Fresno State. Now, I haven't looked in. I don't follow Fresno State day-to-day practices. All I know is that when I see someone with that many stars, you know, in the group of five, I go, hey, is this a guy who's just like wanted to leave a bad coaching situation and just kind of wants to start to just like play his style of football, right? And not worry about the name schools, name brands. Or is this someone that was maybe 24/7, you know, and all these ranking systems had him a little too high. So that's why he wasn't my defensive player of the year. But I think he's good. I think he's going to be my newcomer of the year into the group of five.
Mine, I'm going a little bit out there. He's from a school that I think is going to be pretty good this year, but I'm not willing to say playoff good. Cam Fincher, quarterback, FAU.
What school is he coming from?
He is... 1 second.
Cam Fincher. That is obscure. Shout out any Owl fans, by the way. Like, FAU Owls, you guys got that 1 year of Kiffin, and then it's just been average ever since, baby. But hey, FAU, can't complain, right?
Correct. He is from Marshall. He arrived at Florida Atlantic in December of 2023.
There got we named go. Starter today.
I'm a little biased. I have a friend who works for FAU. So
he says he's the real deal. Fair enough.
Boca beautiful, baby. Boca beautiful.
Boca beautiful, yes. All right. And the very last thing, because I am running out of daylight, Zooch, is
you look like you're in the Blair Witch Project right now.
I know. I feel like the ghost of like Andy Avalos is gonna like come and like take me away for all of the criticisms I've said in the past. But yeah, I'm running out of daylight, and I've just for the audience, I just moved to Southern California, and my apartment isn't ready yet. It starts in September 1st. Obviously not September 1st. So I've been crashing at my aunt and uncle's place, and this room doesn't have a light on it. It just relies on sunlight. So that's why I look like one of those floating heads from like Futurama right now, like Richard Nixon.
Mansion.
Yeah, I look. Yeah, no, the ghosts are going to get me. But I think the disappointment is all group of five fans when whatever team plays gets blown out. That's going to be the disappointment. And I know it's cynical and I know it's so pessimistic, but I think that's what's going to happen, man. And I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see a scenario where we're not the group of five team. And I say we because I am a group of five fan who roots for a group of five team is not just playing a juggernaut that smokes us.
Yeah, worst case scenario, because I just have been, we're 3 to 4 days away from football. I've been thinking of scenarios just for weeks now. Worst case scenario is getting like Georgia. Like Georgia like loses the game they should.
A pissed Kirby Smart. Oh my God.
I'll just put this out there and I'll end on this. Because when I started thinking about Georgia, I realized they have won their last two bowl games 65-7 and 63-3. Don't want any part of that. Anyone but Georgia.
And what is your, before we end this, disappointment of the season, group of five?
My disappointment of the season, and I had to do some thinking because it's like they're getting a little bit of hype, but I think it'll be disappointing in terms of like they'll be around the same record, but maybe not as good as people, their fans think they're going to be, as San Diego State. I think Sean Lewis is a great coach, and I think they'll have, you know, 7, maybe 8 wins, but I think first year coach, implementing a lot of new stuff, kind of got to get rid of a Brady Hoke culture. I know that's mean to say.
That is mean.
You gotta get rid of
Brady Hoke culture. Come on.
You gotta get rid of it. I think they will be good in due time, but I don't think they're gonna be like a 10-win team or anything like that this year.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough, but hey, the group of five, it, like I said, they actually have a shot this year. Like, it's crazy to say, like, there is a shot. Fan bases are going to be fired up. Zuch, do you have anything else to say before I lead us out and tease next week is when we actually get to start our week one preview and our playoff predictions. We will finally drop, and we will be posting our brackets to the Instagram after the show, of course, or when the show drops next Friday. But this next week we have actual football. This week we have next week we have actual football. Could not be excited. Tomorrow we will have actual football. It's week zero and we will recap those games as well. It's go time, man. Yeah. It is go
Everyone
time.
Everyone get up early, watch Seamus on College Game Day because that's hilarious. Yeah. Seamus is the guest speaker.
Yes.
Watch Hayes King, Mike Nort. It'll be so good to see Hayes King. I never thought I would say that. It'll be great to see Hayes King. It'll be great to see Mike Norvell. It'll be great to watch SMU play Nevada. I can't wait.
Yes. Oh, that's a sneaky fun matchup with Rich Choate. Can't wait to see all the Choaters out there hang out. But, yes, thank you all for listening. Like I said, make sure you're subscribed. Follow us on the Instagram. And we will see you next week in the first 2024 Zuch and Wild in-season show. The off-season is officially over. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week.